Hey everybody, this is Gene Troyer. I'm the lead pastor of Restore Church, and what a pleasure it is to welcome you to our podcast. It's my hope that you will be marked by love and encouraged in your faith and inspired to become all God has created you to be. Now I invite you to lean in and enjoy the podcast. Hey you guys, great to be with you this morning. Have you ever said, "What a moment of chaos that was"? Well, maybe you haven't said it, but the thought has surely crossed your mind. If you haven't recently, well, just wait until you've been an empty nester for a while. Like, that's where my perspective is at. And then you step into a house filled with kids, or any space filled with children for that matter, and you'll quickly find out how acclimated you've become to quietness, to peacefulness. Maybe you've developed some selfishness. You've become accustomed to the ability to move about your house without someone always asking, why, what, when, where, when, what are we gonna do this, when are we gonna do that? Well, it's been a minute since we've had just a moment of chaos, right? Our collective experience of navigating through these wild and tumultuous days has been nonstop for the past 10 months and counting. It's taking a toll on us. And many of us haven't experienced the need to be this resilient to manage this level of chaos. Now, last week, Brenda did a masterful job of shedding light on some of the mental health issues that many of us are grappling with and gave us some gospel-centered teaching that I believe can help us with knowing how to be people of compassion and grace, especially as we help each other along on this journey. It was a timely and beautiful message of hope and of healing, because frankly, we don't know how to navigate through the uncertainty of these days. We've not been down this road before. So we look around for what might offer some level of hope, some explanation, clarity in chaos. And in our search for meaning, and in our search for understanding, we sometimes latch on to what seems logical or what serves our preconceived assumptions or our preferred narrative built around our insecurities about the value and worth of our person. You know what's astounding to me is that as people of faith, and frankly, pastors are not exempt in their culpability, but as people of faith who could be the light of the world, who Jesus called the light of the world, who have the ability to discern and determine what is good and right, who have been gifted with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of living out a life of power, of love, we seem to be the most gullible when it comes to theories and speculations. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:23. He said, "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. But instead, so many in the church are believing QAnon conspiracy theories. We are lending our ear and heart and eventually our soul to the lies and theories that are propagated and made mainstream. Look, I don't believe that there's a group of elite cannibals or a bunch of Hollywood A-listers and politicians that are part of a cabal of pedophiles and Satan worshipers. And I don't know if there is a deep state that is ultimately in control of our nation. Guess what? Neither do you. This past week, we saw the devastating impact of the insurrection on our nation's capital. Now, let me be really clear. I believe that as citizens of this great country, we should be able to express our opinions, to demonstrate, just not with violence. I have heard and seen all stripes of Christianity affirming the action that was taken last week. Many members of our local church communities were in D.C. for this event. Maybe you were too. You know what? My hope is that you remained peaceful if you were there, that you were not destructive, that you were, above all else, representing your citizenship in the kingdom of God. I hope you'll hear my appeal to our collective conscience that all of us, as citizens of the United States of America, are, if we follow Jesus, first of all, citizens of the kingdom of God. Our allegiance must always be pledged first to God, always before country. We must never, ever, ever get the two confused. Christian nationalism, this thing of wrapping the cross of Christ in the flag, is in my lifetime at an all-time high. I've never experienced the infiltration of this kind of meshing of the values of the kingdom of God with the kingdom of earth as I see right now. The church never wins when this happens. Our faith becomes diluted and powerless when we equate the two. Now I know you can think I'm an idiot with my head in the sand, but here's what I'm asking you to consider. What is right? What is true? Does your social media presence and the words you speak and the narrative you're believing, do all of those things serve to lift up the Jesus of the gospel? Or is it a Jesus that fits your particular wants, needs, and desires? Does your interaction with your fellow humans express love and grace, or does it express hate and vitriol? I know, you're just trying to save the world and point out the evil that exists, but you know what? You know what I wish? I wish for a community of faith that would be far more intent on lifting the collective voice of all that is good and right, rather than the baseless fear-mongering and hatred. Is there evil in the world? Yes. Yes, in fact, there has always been and there always will be evil in the world. Is there anything we can do about it? Yes, of course. And you know what? It starts right here, right now, with you and I. But here's the thing. We will believe what we want to believe. We will believe what we fill our minds with. And if we choose to believe that there is some dark underbelly at work in our nation, then that is our prerogative. My question would be this. Why be so quick to subscribe to the accepted narrative of negativity, to doom and gloom? Measure everything you're believing up to the gospel of Christ. Does it stand up? Does subscribing to this line of thinking allow us to believe the best of each other? What happens inside of you and I when we have this thought process, when we have these beliefs? In fact, do you have clarity or chaos? Does peace rule my heart and mind? As the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:8, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Here's how I look at it. We're in a growth spurt. How we come out on the other side is dependent on if we welcome this opportunity for personal growth, for organizational growth. You know, some of what the board and staff here at Restore have been asking is, what are we called to? Is the message and mission of Restore to know Jesus and our neighbors still our focus? Should it be? Is it too simplistic? Have we tried to dumb it down? Have we opened the door too wide, encouraged people to relationship and community without compulsion? Have we been too accepting, too positive, too grace-filled, too loving? To all of that, we would point to the evidence, evidence that incriminates many of us. Instead of it being too simple, many of us have found it too difficult to lean into Jesus, too difficult to love our neighbors, too obsessed with our own rights to pay attention to the needs of those around us. And as a result, we have impugned and made a mockery of the most basic principles of our faith. When Jesus was asked, "Hey, what is the greatest commandment?" His response was unequivocally direct. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." What he didn't say was, "If you can, if it seems right, if it's not too inconvenient, if at all possible, you should." It was a directive. This is the way to life. He's saying, "Hey, if any of the rest of this matters, these two things must matter most. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." So, what happens when we subscribe to this command of God? Do we gain clarity or chaos? Peace or war? Maybe there is an obvious answer. The issue within the obvious answer would seem to be that perhaps our faith is too fragile to accept the obvious. Because what is easier? To believe what someone, although we have no reason to believe their credibility, is telling the truth, because they're alive and we can see them, or at least we know that they are writing something today and not in the millennia past? Or is it easier to believe that the ancient scribes, long dead, would have written something that remains relevant to our day? If our faith is faith at all, it means that we will believe in the impossible, in the miraculous. If our faith is rooted in the truth, it means that we must have a basis, a foundation of truth from which all of our life is centered on. As followers of Jesus, we subscribe to His way as the truth. It is from there that we are informed about how we will live this brief existence on planet Earth. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and while we don't have time to read every word and every passage that is applicable to our conversation today, I would encourage you to spend some time in this rich book of faith. Reading now from Hebrews 10, starting in verse 22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Here's what I'm hearing. Three directives. Number one, let us go right into the presence of God. In other words, draw near to God. Come with a sincere heart, with an inner life that is aligned with who God is and who He says we are. After all, it is a pure in heart who see God. And as you come with the full assurance of His affirmation of you, not because of what you've done, but because of His shed blood for your redemption, for my redemption. It is His work on the cross, His death in our place, that gives us the right to be called His sons and His daughters. And as such, guess what? We're invited into the inner circle of God. His invitation stands. He says, come, come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You guys, this is a call to repentance, to turn from the past and receive the washing, the cleansing of our inner life. Number two, another directive, let us hold tightly without wavering. So hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Hope leads us into that inner circle of God. Hold on to hope, because the promises of God will be fulfilled. Our God is without fault. He makes no mistakes. He is infallible. And when He makes a promise, we can have full confidence that His promises will be kept. And number three, let us think of ways to motivate one another. In other words, encourage and consider each other. This is a mutual activity, not just one where leaders direct everybody else. This is an encouragement to spur one another on in the faith, in love. It kind of reminds me of the farmers in my life that as a kid, I saw them use cattle prods. And this is what it reminds me of. We need to come alongside each other, prod each other, not with a cattle prod, but with words of encouragement and consideration. This action is indicative of exercising a love that is not self-seeking, but one that is pure and right and unselfish. A love whose paradigm is the cross. See, Jesus, He's our model when we live out of a life of love. This kind of love cannot be lived without other people. It has to be worked out in community. Faith and hope, you can practice those in solitude, but not love. Love and good deeds happen within the context of being with other humans. This is where we work it out. This is where we're refined. This is where we become who God has called us to be. So, draw near to God. Hold on to hope and encourage each other in the faith. See, there are very few of us that will have an impact on a large portion of society, but all of us can have a beautiful impact on our immediate family, on our church, in our business, the people that we interact with daily. This is where we will certainly be influential. This is where we must be faithful first, and then let God take that faithfulness in the small things and build into us the stamina, the wisdom to move into the next position and opportunity. There is so much work to be done, and we must be about the Father's business. So let's get at it without delay and be the people that will bring clarity to chaos. Let's pray together. God, in these days of turmoil, of confusion, in the middle of darkness, let us be the light of the world, for that is what you've called your people. Let us not be deterred in our faith journey, but instead remember that we are yours and that as we surrender our lives and our agendas to do your will and to make your name great, that you will be exalted and glorified. God, we believe that you have called us for such a time as this. And so we pray. We pray for wisdom. We pray for discernment for the days ahead. And we ask that you would guide us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Please rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes and join us again for next week's podcast. We love you and pray blessing and peace over you and your family.